Because we're not physically together, we are still spiritually together in heart, unity and oneness, and we still have the Holy Spirit who will lead and anoint and guide us. So this is a time for our meeting and to be open and led by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that there will be a prayer afterwards. And if anyone has testimonies to share, or whatever it is, you can also take over the mic. This is a time for our meeting and fellowship. So praise the Lord. But before we start, I'd like to just commit our time into the Lord's hands. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, we again have been drawn into your presence where two or three are gathered together. Jesus is in the midst. And Lord, we commit our time and we commit this meeting over into your hands. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers each one of us, the room, the connection. And Lord, you know all those who will come into the room to hear your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will speak to our hearts and cause us to become more like Jesus. Father, we thank you for the signs that follow your word of healing, deliverance, and salvation. And so, Lord, our eyes are looking to you now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. Well, this morning I've been up early and had a blessed time before the Lord, waiting on what to share with you all today. And I have a title that God has given, I'm just gonna right, I'm now recording this because I believe we need to record this, so I've got my recording on my phone. Right, the title for our teaching today is Turned into the Shape of the Vision. Turned into the Shape of the Vision. And I will explain this, but firstly we need to turn to the scriptures to get our inspiration, and that is in Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verses 20 to 21. Romans chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, and we're calling our teaching today, Turned into the Shape of the Vision. And in verses 20-21, it says here, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will a thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Now, we all know this very well. We've read this many, many times. But it's interesting that Paul uses this analogy in the context of Israel rejecting God and his promises, because that is what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here, that God has rejected Israel or put Israel temporarily to one side, and now the gospel of the good news and salvation is out to the four corners of the earth, to Gentiles, to all those who receive him as Lord and Savior. So that is what he's saying here in the context. But it still applies, this analogy, to whoever is found in Jesus Christ. Because we have to learn that we are simply that clay, which is what we are, and God does something with that clay, and he works with this clay, and he molds this clay into a vessel of honor. We notice it speaks of two vessels of dishonor. And so we need to really understand and know that we are being shaped by the Master's hands, by God's hands, and that he is shaping us indeed into a vessel of honor, a vessel of which he can use, because there are, as it speaks here in verse 22, two types of vessels, a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. And of course we have the analogy of what a potter does. After a potter, when they've worked and kilned and produced whatever it is that they are producing, sometimes they have to throw away something because it's no good. It won't stand the test. It'll be no good. It can't really be used. So God needs to use us. And in order for us to be used, he has to work with us. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today turned into the shape of the vision. We are incapable of molding ourselves. And this is something that the Christian has to learn if he or she is going to walk with God. For God has said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God is so different to us, to man. And we cannot mold or shape ourselves. This is why we need to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. In other words, made alive, made new in the second Adam. A new nature, a new heart, a new vision, a new hope. Everything is radically changed in and through us when we become a new creation, because we are restored back to the second Adam in Jesus Christ. Therefore, for that work to be done in this life of sojourners passing through, we need to be shaped and molded into the vision that God has given us, indeed, if we have a vision. And of course, that vision, the ultimate goal of that vision, of course, is Jesus Christ, the one whom we look to, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But we need a vision. Without a vision, my people perish. And the church is in such a decline in these days because there is not a vision that is taught. There are many, many visions, and sadly, a lot of these visions lead to nothing because they come out of the imagination of man's heart, man's pride, man's will, and they come to nothing. But the vision for the last day has to be divinely given to the church. And we have to be taught again in these last days by divine revelation through the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, and the gifts that God sets into the body of Christ, of which we know in Ephesians 4 is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the maturing, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. They are ministries that God has set in the body of Christ, and that is how we are going to come into maturity, into the full man. And we need to learn this, and we need to seek God that we come under those anointings, those ministries in which God can mature and raise the sons of God in these last days. We ought to grow up spiritually, and of course we know it can be painful, it's not easy, there are trials attached to all of this, but we have fundamentally got to grow and mature in the Spirit for these last days. And I will speak a little bit about these last days that we're living in later on and why this is so essential. But we need to be turned into the shape of the vision that God is giving in the last days. And there is a vision. There is a call to overcome. There are first fruits to come out of the harvest. There is, as we call it, sons to be manifested in the last days. Read Romans 8 about groaning creation that needs to be delivered. The church needs to grow up. The church needs to be equipped. The church needs to be prepared because she's facing its onslaughts against the powers of darkness. And the question is, is she ready? Is she trained? Does she have a vision and a call That's the question. We're going to look at some of this. But God has to first give the vision. And we have been very blessed and fortunate over the years of being shown a vision and a call to overcome in these last days. But God is raising up overcomers. And the overcomers, as the Bible shows us, is the bride who's making herself ready. And she's being equipped through the anointed word, through ministry, through the fivefold ministry, those eyes looking to Jesus, seeking the kingdom of God, and not the kingdom of self or the kingdom of men, but seeking the kingdom of God. God is equipping us now that we will be ready for the last days. And boy, do we need to be ready, brothers and sisters, for the last days. So many of our brothers and sisters are so blind to what is coming on the earth. So many have their heads buried in the sand, just like those old ostriches. Oh, we're all saved, we're all going to be blessed, we're all in the ark spiritually, we're all going up in the glory train. That is a lot of the conception today of a lot of believers. And this is really why they're not growing and maturing in the faith. They're not learning from their trials that we go through. And this is why the vision, we have to be shaped and turned into this vision if we're to receive it in the last days. But God has to first give this vision. You have the vision, but we're not yet to the reality of it. So we have the vision, we see the vision. The vision is for appointed time, but we are not possessors of it. We are not moving into it, experiencing it yet, because God is still shaping us for it. And that's why it's the valley that we are shaped for this vision. This vision that is to be possessed, experienced, moved into, i.e. that is the promised land. It is going to take the valleys to shape this into our lives spiritually. That is into the church. The valley helps the clay to be pliable. We've already spoken of it back in verse 21. Does the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? It is the valleys through the trials that we go through that makes and helps the clay to be pliable in the potter's hands. If you have done any pottery, you will understand that lump of clay that you got, that you put on the wheel, has to be worked and mould with. And it has to be made pliable. You have to use a correct amount of water. If you use too much water, then the whole mould starts to go out of shape. Or if the wheel is going too fast, then it'll fly off. There is a technique. It is a craft, pottery. And so we get this analogy, we get this idea of us that are the clay in the master's hands. And the only way he can mold and work with us is so often when we are in the valley experience. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we let go and let God mold and work. All the while we get in the way, he cannot mold us for the vision. Remember the title, turned into the shape of the vision. God has to turn us, mold us, in which to receive vision for the last days. As we don't receive it, we only see it academically, we only see it in the Bible, it'll just be there. But we have got to possess that vision. We are the possessors in the last day for the promised land. The promised land was not fully taken, and it must be taken. And what was in that land? Yes, giants, the Canaanite civilization. And that is what God is preparing the overcomers for, the final onslaught, the final battle between light and darkness. And the battle is won through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look to Calvary, we look to the cross, as he is in front of us, our battle will be won. And brothers and sisters, it's against demonic forces, against giants in the last days. And God is going to speak to us as an assembly. We're moving into another level of understanding and learning as to what we are facing in these last days. We as yet have been preserved and kept. There's very little yet that we have been taught or we know in this assembly. I can't speak for other churches, but I can only speak for us who know what we are heading for in these last days, and we need to be taught, and God is going to open our eyes at the right time. But brothers and sisters, this is why at the moment we're hid in many ways, because the valley is training us for the last final conflict, war, spiritually, against the powers of darkness and Satan himself. And yet how many are prepared for this? How many Christians see this? How many know experientially that the vision that we are to have, we are being molded for that vision? Many sadly don't know this. This is why we get parables like the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. These are all warnings to the body of Christ. And we need to keep awake in these last days, because so many believers are running away from the reality, running away from the truth. They still just want their Sunday school experiences, but we have to grow up and mature as sons of God in these last days. And this is being done through the anointed ministries of the prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4, which are being established, being brought back to the true body of Christ, till we all come into maturity, into our ministries, into what God has for us as the full man. The full man is knowing the fullness of the Godhead in us, that we decrease, that he increases. This is what it's about. It's as we let go and let God, who lives and resides in us, start to take over. The body of Christ can only be built through believers who are yielded to the Spirit. Because the body of Christ is an organism. It's not an organization. Man's attempt in trying to build God's church will fail in the last days. Only the Holy Spirit can build his true church, his body, who will stand and survive in this last onslaught that's coming from the powers of darkness. This is why it is an organism. This is why we need to read Corinthians. We need to read Ephesians to understand the function of the body of Christ. That it's not something you joined, you are baptized into it to function. You are placed into the true body of Christ as a gift, whether an arm, a foot, a leg, an eye, or whatever, till we all function, coming to the full maturity. This is why our fellowship is a unity of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who brings us together, fellowship, true harmony, true unity and oneness through coming under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and not under some headship of a man. Our headship today, if all of us who are in this room and agree with this, our headship today is the blood of Jesus. Redeemed, washed, new creations in Christ Jesus. That is why God's people will hear God's voice. My people hear, God's sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd. You know when God speaks. And that is why we need to be equipped. We need to be prepared. We need to have the vision of the last day. There are many visions. There is a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of Christians running to and fro from this church, that church, this ministry, this minister, only getting more and more confused. But you need to come back to a simple faith of your eyes and heart and being looking to the Jesus himself. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will come back to you. I will teach you. I will lead you. I will guide you. That is what he asks of us. But so many of us are still looking to man for the answers. And man will fail you. Woe to those who put their trust in the arm of the flesh, the word of God says. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can deliver us out of this mess that we have. Confusion. And the confusion is getting worse and worse because we are seeing the manifestations of demonic power coming forth on the earth. Demonic power is utter confusion. But we'll look at that later on. The gospel actually is quite simple. Jesus revealed entering into the kingdom as to a child. And this is why he allows us to go through our valley experiences to get out of us confusion, to get out of us fear, to get out of us mistrust and all those things that fetter and hold us down. The valley experience is to us so that we come forth with that simple childlike trust, with our hearts aflamed, looking to Jesus and none other who will lead and guide us. That's what he's doing with us. He doesn't want our ideas. He doesn't want our thoughts or what we think or anything. This is why he's getting us to totally let go. And he's doing it with every one of us, to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, so that then in our weakness we are made strong. We are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. And the valley helps that clay to be pliable in the potter's hands. Sometimes it has to take harder handling. Sometimes God has to do that with one vessel. Sometimes you look at some people and you think, whatever is it going to take? Will they ever bow the knee? Will they ever admit that they're wrong? Will they ever raise their hands and surrender to God? Well, God can do it. Those master's hands know exactly what he's doing with each of us, but he'll do it. That's why we believe in household salvation. And we look at our families and they seem to get worse and worse and worse. Well, God, when you believe, when you have asked God to save your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, whatever it is, you have placed them into the potter's hands in Jesus' name. Just don't look at it. Don't look at the circumstances. And yes, he's applying that pressure on that old clay. But praise God, their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will escape the second death. Hallelujah. But through it all, as we see in verse 21, where there's vessels for honor and dishonor, even through all of this, we have a choice, a will. We have a choice, brothers and sisters, today, whether to let the vision, the last vision God has for the overcoming army, we have a choice whether to let that vision be molded in and through us or not. It's entirely up to us what we want. And that's why, you see, it's the valleys. But you've got a lot of Christians today who are escaping the valley experiences in whatever way or form, trusting in the arm of the flesh, running to man for all the answers and help. And you see, those ones want to live on the mountaintop. But I'll tell you something about that, those who live or try to live on the mountaintop. Those people, all they can refer to is simply memories of the past. That's all they can look to. That's all they can look to, past revivals, or a meeting years ago when somebody got healed, or whatever it is out of them, is all about the past, of the past and so forth, and that's all those people are. Empty. Why? They have no vision, because the vision is not being molded in and through them. That's why, brothers and sisters, we have to go into the valley, because it's in the valley that is where we learn and where we're molded. What does it say in Proverbs 29:18? We know this awfully well, but it's very applicable. And this tragically is what is happening so much today. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, of which says, where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, or they perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, keeps the word, keeps with it, keeps with what has been given. Tragic. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the word of God, happy is he. So this vision that's been molded and worked into us gives us happiness, a joy, the joy of the Lord. Even in our valley experiences, because we know what is being worked and wrought through each one of us. That's the reason. You see, our training is to bring us into a deeper reality of this vision. Even though it tarries, wait for it, the Bible says, because every step, every day is bringing us into more of the reality of the vision for the last days. That's why. This is why, brothers and sisters, there's such a deliverance taking place over each of us. We haven't really a clue just what deliverance and change the Lord is doing with us. And not only that, but God knows the right second moment in which to deliver us for the next thing. That is what's so wonderful about this. And this is, of course, why God is dealing with all these fears that try to work, that still try to work with us. This is why he works with self-pity. He's working with pride, confusion, that independent spirit, and so on. This is why you are on the potter's wheel. That molding is, a lot of it, is deliverance. And all our deliverance is that we're simply trusting him more. The more we trust him, the more we get delivered. Because we've been delivered from those things that hinder us from trusting him. It's always, ah yes, but what if? We never say that. But that's what's mulling around in us. That's what oppresses us. Ah yes, but what if? What if? God is going to strip and strip. He's going to bring us to such a place where we simply believe. We believe everything that God reveals and shows. We don't question it. We don't analyze it. That's what he's doing. That's what he's working. And that, my friends, brothers and sisters, is an experience. That's part of this vision that God molding into us, is to completely trust him, that God never makes a mistake. He has made no mistake over your life, over your circumstances, over that bad news you heard yesterday, or whatever it is. He has made no mistake. He cannot. It's impossible. God is absolute perfection. No lie, no blemish. He's other than we are. He can never make a mistake. Everything that he does, every touch in your life and my life, is absolute perfection, pure holiness, no tint found, no blemish at all. A complete perfected work. That is why the sons of God will come forth triumphant. But the overcomers have to be shaped. And the church has to be shaped. Full gospel assembly has to be shaped. Ministry that he has set in the church and in this assembly has to be shaped. It has to be shaped for God, in which he must use us, and not shaped by man. And that is why we don't touch this. We don't try and organize it. We don't try, even with good ideas or good intentions. We don't even plan what God is doing with this church. God does it. We submit in unity and oneness under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we believe is head over this church. He is having the say, not man, not even the pastor. And there are times we look too much to the pastor, when we should be looking to the Lord. You see, why am I coming so strong on this? We have to see, brothers and sisters, what we're being prepared for. Why God is doing what he's doing. Why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why the Spirit has baptized us into his body. I said years ago that this assembly and others who are going on overcoming, it's like a spiritual ark. Like Noah in those days when he built that ark for 120 years by faith, because God had given him a vision. So we likewise are doing the same, but it is spiritually this time. Jesus spoke of the last days, of the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were the most wicked things that were going on then in those times and in the antediluvian time. That is before the flood and after the flood. There is so much that we need our eyes open to that is coming on the earth. It's already here. There's so much that's here that's yet hid from us. But God wants us to start to have our eyes and ears open. Something that God revealed to me yesterday, we had a very blessed prayer meeting yesterday online. And something that the Lord opened my eyes to, I've known it, preached on it, and we've all probably got it underlined. But we know that one of the things God says to us, that in these days we're to be as harmless as doves and as wise as serpents. And suddenly the Lord revealed to me, and maybe some of you have had this already, what is the difference between a serpent and a dove? Well, a serpent can only crawl on the ground. A dove can look up above and look down on that serpent. That serpent can't look up to that dove, but that dove can look down to that serpent. And I believe that is a message to us. I believe it's a message to me, that we have got to have our eyes open to the powers of darkness, to Satan, what he is ready to unleash. most Christians don't want to know. Most Christians are burying their heads in the sand. God has never let this go from me as a pastor. One of the things I learned pretty quickly after the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this call of ministry on my life, God was taking me to ministry, to meetings this, then in those days, and a lot of them, that yes, things were wrong. But one thing I was learning through those ministries, then in those days, was spiritual warfare. And I knew that that was powerful. I knew that was the Holy Spirit getting my attention way, way back in those days. And of course, I would share this. I would share about warfare in the Spirit, using those tongues to come against the enemy and so forth. And Christians alone used to take one step back from me and sort of used, it was sort of looked at me, oh, you poor thing. That was the attitude. That was the pride. But God has never let it go. And I have always encouraged you. I have always encouraged our meetings, our prayer meetings. We're not up against flesh and blood. Stop looking to it, brothers and sisters. You know why you still look to flesh and blood? Because flesh and blood still appeals to the emotions and feelings. That's why we're still hindered by it. Oh, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel very spiritual or whatever it is. It's got nothing to do with it, brothers and sisters. Your hindrances, those things that you see, those things that you hear, they are not flesh and blood. They are powers, principalities. They're demonic forces in the heavenlies trying to birth their devilish works and activities through onto planet Earth. Witchcraft knows all about this. Spiritists, mediums, those in the occult know all about this, but sadly Christians don't know about this, and yet we have been given the greatest contact to planet Earth, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. That is God's contact. That is God's hand touching us to deliver us, to save us. That is why the cross is such good news. The gospel is such good news. And yet we can still be so blinded to it because we're so caught up in self. I'll tell you one of the things that God is really working in this assembly with a lot of us. We're still bound with self-pity. Poor old me. And this is why we're still so inward looking. Instead of meditating in the Word, we're meditating our navels. We have to grow up, brothers and sisters. Yes, it does look sometimes as though it's all, you're getting all the flack. It does look sometimes as though they're all laughing at us and jeering at us. It does look as though the devil's having his way. He seems to have all the best songs. But it's only for a season. That is the point. And very often God is dealing with us first. Before then he will come with that mighty sword to bring deliverance. I'm reminded of the armies of Israel under Saul, who couldn't defeat the giants. And those giants and Goliath, the army of Israel. And that mocking created fear. And what did that fear do? It created a self-pity. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, we're in a mess. It's going from bad to worse. It made them inward looking. And you know the rest of the story, how God used an overcomer. King David. Being trained where? Out in those dry fields with a few sheep. But that's where God was molding him. And God molded David. And he got David to that place in the potter's hands where it took one pebble to smite that giant between the eyes. That's the only way you could get those giants. And he fell to the ground, but you see, he had been so well trained to know that he was only knocked out. He had got to defeat him completely, and that's why he severed his head off. And great victory was wrought to the army of Israel. But who did that victory? It was an overcomer, a type of first fruits. He had ministered, David had ministered to Israel. And of course they were all happy, but the point is that Israel should have been trained by God to be able to take those giants, to take Goliath, but they couldn't. What was hindering them? Fear, self-pity. And we've got the same analogy coming in these last days. The Davids, the first fruits, the overcomers will be the ones who will go and fight against the giants, and the rest left behind, just like in Gideon's army when it just took 300. Yes, the rest will be rejoicing, they'll be praising God, but the fact is, they weren't the ones really doing it. And you see, those who are cheeky enough, those who are pressing in, those who are not happy with just the milk of the word, say, Lord, I want to be the one to deliver. I want to be the one to smite that stone on the giant's forehead. I want to be in the army in this last days. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a part of it. That's the spirit and heart God is looking for in these last days. And if you want that, brothers and sisters, then you're on the potter's wheel. And he's going to mold and shape that vision in you. You can't do it. Your intellect can't do it. Only the master's hands can work it in our hearts, a part of us. The vision and call to overcome has got to become a part of us. It is what we are destined for. He is going to come back to rule with a rod of iron, which means that he's going to come back. He has to smash things up. He has to destroy it in which to bring about new clay in which to mold. And he's going to mold again in the millennium for 1,000 years. He will start to rebuild. And you will do that with him. And why will you do that with him? Because you have already experienced where he has smashed your life up. He has smashed everything you've made, you thought, you were planning for, you were scheming for. And he's placed you on that potter's wheel and molded you for the image, for the vision, for the last day. You are his handiwork. That's why he will use you and I, brothers and sisters. That's why we will be qualified in which to be priests, kings, teachers in that millennium to teach the world to come back to worship and praise God again. But brothers and sisters, my warning to you today is you need the guard. You need the full armor of God. You need to be prepared and trained by the Holy Spirit, because we are moving into the next phase now in this church. I can't speak for others, but I am preparing you. We have got to have our eyes open to what we are facing, what the New Age order is bringing in. It is mind-blowing. A lot of it, yes, you shelve until the Lord confirms and will confirm. But something, and I'm going to end with this, I have waited on the Lord for years for some answers with regard to the mark of the beast that will be introduced on planet Earth. We're all in agreement with that. We all know, and we've all had theories, we've heard things, and a lot of them are right. But I have never understood why those who take of the mark will be eternally damned. There's no salvation for them. I've never really fully understand why such a sentence. Why so stern? It's raised many questions, but of course we know, like with the book of Revelation, like what Daniel said in the last days, when the books will be open, there's a right time for everything. And I don't know all the answers, but I'm starting to get some answers as to why that mark is so serious. And friends, if you're not sure about this, like we all do, we give it to the Lord, we shelve it, but if it's of God, he will confirm and reconfirm. And remember that what we're saying, nothing is new under the sun, as Solomon said. But I believe what is behind the mark of the beast is not just your ID, your personal bank number or whatever it is. In many ways, we have all of that now. We're doing all of that now. It's our cards. No, I think there's a lot more to it. I believe that chip, that mark, will have in it the means and the power to change your identity, to change you as a person, to dehumanize you. We know now they're working overtime in genetics, and all this business that's going on and everything. We don't know half and a quarter. There are warnings that are going out now that you need to be very careful on a lot of these injections that they're giving, because they can change your DNA. And I believe that this chip will have something about it that will change you as a human being. You will not be fully human. And therefore, that means that the blood of Jesus cannot atone. There is something about it that will not be able to atone, for Jesus came for mankind. He came for you and me. The blood of Jesus is for human flesh that has fallen, to be reconciled, brought back to Almighty God. There is going to be something within that mark that is going to mar and change that. And I'm still waiting on God for clarification for more of this. But when I started to hear some of this, I said, praise God. Now I'm beginning to understand why that mark is so serious. Up till now, we've just heard things or whatever it is. But I don't, it's all preparing. It's all brainwashing, preparing society to take of this mark. But I believe that that mark, more to it, there is something about it that is going to change man, dehumanize him, change his genetics. And that's what makes it so serious. And as Solomon said, is there anything new under the sun? Heavenly Father, you are molding us and changing us. You are shaping us for the vision for the last day. The sons of God that will come forth to release groaning creation. The bride that's making herself ready. Oh Father, Lord, just help us to keep our eyes looking to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Father, that You love us with an everlasting love, and you have a remnant redeemed from the foundation of the world, set apart unto you. O Lord, help keep our eyes looking to Jesus. Even if we find ourselves in the valley, Lord, we're there for a reason, because that's the molding. That's you shaping us for the vision to be called, to be used in these last days. So many are being deceived. So many are being drawn away, Father, by man, and how the enemy is working through man. But Lord, you have said that if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. And I believe, Lord, you have even set us more free by your love and mercy and grace. But Father, we need to be watchful. We need to be awake. We cannot hide any longer. Fear, unbelief will do this. But there is no fear in the perfect love of God. You have come to set us free. We have everything to gain. You've come as the comforter. You've come as the teacher. You've come to lead and guide us. You've come to open our eyes. And you will not show anything to us until we are ready, so we can have that assurance. Because you love us with an everlasting love. Lord, I pray for all those who are online today. The blood of Jesus over their minds, their hearts. Keep them looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Preserve and keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptations, the trickery of the enemy. Guard and keep their minds and hearts by the blood of Jesus. Give your angels charge over them, that you will minister grace and love and mercy from the throne of grace. Father, I thank you today for this meeting, even though we couldn't come together in the flesh. Yet we are aware of your presence. We are aware, Lord, that you can use anything, and even the internet, wherever we are, near or far, to come together. And so, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share with my brothers and sisters, and we continue with our fellowship.